Glad that we're here together and to hear the words of God. Today is the third time I'm standing at this podium. I feel a burden every time I stand here because every time the more I learn, the more that I feel that I'm weak. I don't know how to share these words with you, but I try to seek some approval from Pastor Jack. And my request has always been that I always wanted my pastor to tell me what he wants to tell me. I can expand his topic. And today's topic, sermon, is about renewing your mind and following Jesus Christ. Now, the scriptures are those couple of places that we have just read, and which is the book of Romans, chapter 12 and 15. Why don't we pray before we start? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us the grace and authority to come to your house to worship. Lord, please pray. I'm praying for everyone in the church and line so that we could all understand your words. Please calm the hearts of us in this house so that we could hear your words and think about what you're trying to tell us. Today, with this letter from Paul, Apostle Paul, to Jews in the church of Rome, we are taught to know and follow the Lord Jesus. Not only you reveal the basic beliefs of the Christian church, help us to know God's perfect truth of salvation, reveal and clarify God's justice, and practice God's justice, and so that we could completely be obedient to you and renew ourselves and sacrifice ourselves. Instead of conforming to this world, we follow Jesus, hoping that when we return, we will stand before him and receive the prize, the grace that the Lord has prepared for us, which is glory and crown that will never be destroyed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's read the book of Romans, chapter 12 again. Verse 1 to verse 2. And these couple of verses, the essence of these verses are about renewing the mind. We don't know what is sickness. Now we know. Now we are offering sickness because we're fallen. Lord, because Jesus has died for us, and we can renew our mind, body, and we have to maintain this complete obedience and complete devotion. So this couple of verses that we have read is about sacrificing ourselves to have a complete devotion to God. And verse one, there are a couple of words in verse one that's important, which is complete devotion. It's this word, these two words, living sacrifice. These are words by the Apostle Paul. Remember, So when Abraham went brought Isaac to sacrifice for God, when Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac to God, and angels came stop him. And I know we know this story, and this is part of a procedure of sacrifice. So what is a living sacrifice? And we have to think about several questions. And why do we have to sacrifice ourselves? And remember when in every worship we always have this session of offering or sacrifice. And I think offering is part of the attitude to show our dedication to God. So if you want to sacrifice or offer, then how do you do that? What is it? What's the relationship with offering and also servicing? And to offer, we know that we have, must offer. But how do we understand? How do we understand the words of God by offering? So looking back at Book of Romans, chapter 12, that we have to sacrifice self as a living, to offer our bodies as living sacrifice. We know that we have to offer our body, money. And verse 2 is talking about offering your mind. So today's sermon is about mind and heart, a renewing of mind and heart, complete devotion to So again, one is offering your body. And the other one's offering the power of mind. That's a complete bullshit. And that sacrifice and a living sacrifice and devotion, it's a beginning of faith. And you don't do it partially too. And to offer and to sacrifice, it is a complete at day one. It is not a progressive. It is not a progressive according to time. And to complete a complete devotion, it's what how a Christian life should look like. Remember, a devotion and a complete devotion are different. So when a complete devotion has to start at day one and has to be part of our life as Christian. So let's look at living sacrifice. We know that in the Old Testament, the Old Testament talks about burnt offering. And there are burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering, the ordination offering, and the fellowship offering. The old Jews in the time, the old time, the Jews has different type of offering. Now, in the Old Testament, the Israelites made frequent sacrifices. In the Old Testament, we know the Israelites. When they sacrifice, They used oxen, they used sheep, and they were slaughtered, skinned, and cut into pieces. And the porter would put the turtles, young pigeons, on the altar and burn them with fire. Again, those they always sacrifice with some live animals, and this is part of the procedure. The Old Testament sin offering. It's a bloody sacrifice to God in lieu of covering the sins of the Israelites and receiving God's forgiveness. With the blood came out from the sacrifice animals, the Jews, knows that the Jews would know that it cleans their sin. So when we see, when we hear sacrifice, we thought of death. Sacrifice equal to death. So it's, we always relate sacrifice to death and then offering. But you know that now we don't need to, when we're doing the offering, we do not sacrifice ourselves. We do not kill anyone. Because, like, what? Because Jesus has died for us, the total sacrifice and salvation. So in the New Testament, there is no longer offering of sacrifice with killing. Death. So Paul had came out with the word living sacrifice. So Paul created Paul invented two words, living sacrifice. When you talk about living sacrifice, it means completely offering yourself, your mind, your physical body for God, because we belong to God first place. So our offering to God as a sacrifice, and the sacrifice is both life, alive, and also death. Now we are also dead. Why? Because the we are also dead at the same time. Because the death of Christ, crucified Christ, dead to the world, dead. We also declare this. We also declare the death seat. Because whoever is living, your body right now should be a renewed mind. It should be a mind that has been resurrected. So Paul said we're a living sacrifice. So we're dead because that because of our sin, but we also alive and resurrected because we're resurrected by Jesus. Peace. Because of our resurrection, our mind has also been resurrected. So we know that we must also as offering ourselves as living sacrifice. And let's read the chapter 12, verse 1 again. So therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That's why we. This is the reason we need complete devotion. Now, complete devotion is a mercy from God. And we have no right. We have no right to give ourselves because we are bought by the Lord. Our body. We can't sacrifice ourselves until we get approval from the Lord. Now we could be offering ourselves as living sacrifice, but we would need approval because our bodies, our mind belong to the Lord. So the sacrifice is not sacrificing just ourselves. It's a mercy and grace from the Lord that we can seek, we are able to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. You think about it's an example. A king who owns the whole country. King who owns all the country, the whole country. You think about a country who owns, a king who owns the whole country, including, and so think about a king who owns the country. The king usually would sacrifice himself for the country because everything that he does is for the country. This is a similar methodology with Jesus, who Jesus Christ, who owns the whole world, the universe. And similarly, Jesus would sacrifice himself for the world. Or we can also look at the book of Romans, chapter 11. And the book says, the scripture says, all things are of him, trusting in him and returning to him. Because God is rich, we're able to give full devotion to the Lord. But today, it's the other way around. Because the Lord is the ultimate God of the universe that we have to provide full devotion to Him. Because God is rich that we are able to give. You think about everything that you own today and everything that you have today from God. Because you're able to leave today and come here, it's God's grace. So how could we offer a complete devotion? Now you can offer, we're not talking about offering the physical body, but when we are talking about an actual and concrete and a promise. It has to be fully coordinated effort to sacrifice yourself. As a living sacrifice, the Old Testament sacrifice begins with the killing of the sacrifice. Now, to offer oneself as a living sacrifice is to live for the Lord, with the attitude of seeing oneself as it were dead, which is a life of dedication. And we must be holy. Holiness does not come from us, does not come from human, but from God alone. So holiness can be attained through Christ, living a life of consecration, cleansed by the blood of the Lord, is a worthy gift of holiness. So how can we become? We can only be holy when our sins is cleaned by the blood of the Lord. So how do we provide the chief complete portion? Now, it is the scripture says it's natural for you to serve in this way. And serving in this way shows that the life of dedication is a kind of service, but we should serve God through such a life. Remember, sacrifice to serve the church and to serve our God is part of the sacrifice. So complete devotion includes service, serving church and serving God. Part of a complete devotion is to please God, to do things that please God. Just like Abraham, he does not live according to his own will, but according to the will of God. And he didn't think about anything else when the angel told him to sacrifice his son. So, when you want to please God, means that you listen to God's word, be completely obedient. In verse 2, let's read verse 2 again. And verse 2 is still talking about how do you have complete devotion? It says, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but to be transformed by the by renewing your mind. And verse 2 is talk about conforming to the world. Conform means to comply. And imitate is another word being used here. Do not imitate this word. I think this is a very good word used in the scripture. The human heart admires and envies the object of imitation, and unconsciously they imitated it. Now, do not imitate. We should not imitate the mind. We should not follow the word in the mind. Now, the scripture says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, and do not imitate the mind. And do not imitate in the mind, do not follow the word in the mind. Rather, we need to be drawn closer and closer to God's heart. That we when we say we're imitating the word, it means that we're following. Now the renew, as we renew our mind, and our mind in particular refers to a change in the perception and attitude towards the world. Now do not, it does, and this process is not just one time process, it's a continuous process, non-stop and consistent. Now, as we're practicing these words every day, our mind will have changed. Our mind would change, and we would learn how to do this correctly in our daily life. And we need to also be changing. Not only we need to renew our mind, but we also need to think about the change in our mind. We have to be improving. We have to be stronger. So renewing our mind is renewing our mindset to about this world. Now I don't not do not when we say we don't want to. When we don't imitate this word, doesn't mean that we don't care about the news and the things happening around the world. We're just, in fact, it's the other way around, and we should be paying attention to what's going on. And we can't, and we cautiously keep telling ourselves every day that we shall not conform to the world. And it takes a lot of practice. So what's the result of a complete devotion? As we are more, as we sacrifice ourselves more, as we're serving the Lord more, and we get to know more about God. And we get to know more about God's will. Is that good? Yes. Because we, as we get be drawn closer to God, we get to learn more about God. And how do we understand God's will? The scripture used the words test. We will use the abilities granted by God to verify the words. God also wants God wants us to test and verify His love to us. So a lot of the time when we come to church, we say we don't know what we're going to learn here, but we just come to church. And when we come to, and as we come to church, we just sit here and we don't check, we don't verify anything. We have no interaction with other people. We're just sitting in the church. And we, when this, when we possess this attitude, as we're attending church, we would not. Now, without the heart of a complete devotion, or you will not be able to learn anything. And I said before, the renewal of mind has a lot to do with spiritual longevity. Life goes, mind is like spiritual mind naturally draws closer to God, know how to verify us. And then we can follow God. So we have to see if God's will and God's grace. The second part of my sermon is about following Jesus. And we talk about the wishes from Apostle Paul, the four wishes. And these four wishes, these four wishes are from Apostle Paul to the Romans Christians. Let's look at this the scripture in chapter 5, verse 5 to 7, and that includes the four wishes. Paul. Now, Apostle Paul not only have these wishes, same wishes to the church in Rome, but also to everyone. What are the four wishes? Number one, the same attitude in mind. Number two is to be like Christ. Number three is to have a unified one mind, one voice, and glorify God. Chapter 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had. So in wish number one, with one mind, one voice, you may glorify the God. This is what Apostle Paul has emphasized. So now that we have been endured and comforted by God, it is time to endure and comfort one each other. So the prerequisite of being one mind and one body is to be able to comfort each other and stay united. If we're not united, then we couldn't get anything done. Now, when I look at our communities, when I see a dispute between in the news, I've heard news that the church quarrels and dispute cannot be resolved in years. So in chapter 5, verse 5 to verse 7, that Paul has a second wish of Paul is to be for us to be like Christ. So the apostle Paul wished believers to imitate Christ in the same way. So this is what we need to imitate our Lord, is we have to be strong in our heart, in our mind. Now, when Jesus was with us, Jesus bear our weakness. And Apostle Paul believe wish that believers can could imitate Christ. The third wish is to have one mind, one body, that you may glorify the Lord. At that time, believers did not glorify God with one heart and one mind, because they disagreed over trivial matters, and that they could not be united. And between brothers and sisters, we always try to be considerate to each other and try to achieve a common understanding between each other. The fourth wish, Paul, is to accept one another. And I think this is important. If we can't accept each other, how can we be of one heart and one mind? And we the congregation of this church is always focused on unity and being united. And one part of being united is to accept one another. And the prerequisite of mutual acceptance is to have pure faith. Mutual acceptance has to be built on pure faith and has to stick to the truth and reject all kinds of heresy. We accept the person, we do not accept the heresy. Now, if we cannot accept one another, then we cannot stay united. Now, if there's a difference in of opinion on some trivial matters, such as you know, about the food quality, those are not important. We all have the same religion, and we need to stay united there. If there is a difference of opinion, we should not reject each other, and we should not treat the other as outsiders. When we tolerate each other, accept people who have different opinions, and then we can stay united. Remember, we are the branches of the tree. And if we are not, as we are children of God, we are branches like each other, and we shall be united. When we are so self, we are self-oriented. We always think about ourselves. That is not accepting each other. You know, when I come to church, when I see all the brothers and sisters every Sunday, I feel excited because I'm glad. It's not about me, but I felt like if I can see them and see these brothers and sisters' face Sunday, they miss they're healthy, they're here because of our belief. And we become brothers and sisters in the church. So that is why when we have God in our mind, when we have Jesus in our heart, then we feel peace every day. And I want to also look at Book of Romans chapter 14. In chapter 14, verse 3, it says, "Let not the one who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not the one who does not eat judge the one who eats, for God is accepted." And verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 7. It talks about accepting each other. And we're still in the book of Romans. And now we'll go back to chapter 14, verse 1. It says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome, but not to quarrel over opinions. And who is weak in faith? We are all weak in faith. Now we have to accept each other. And in verse 10 says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. You know, if you're judging your people around you, what do you have to stand on when you judge another? Remember, God has infinite memory. God remembers it. In chapter 14, verse 13 says, therefore, let us not pass judgment one another alone, but rather decide never put stumbling block, hindrance in the way of the problem. So that's why I'm saying that everyone in the church should love each other, accepting each other. And we build our church in love. And the church usually made out of people with different skill set. And do not judge on the weak. And there's no one contribute big more than another. There's no one more privileged or more premier than the other one. We all just need to work our best to serve our Lord. And then we can build the house of God. So the third time I'm standing on the podium, and all three times, I kind of have a consistent theme. And all I'm talking about is the harmony of the church, that all brothers and sisters will love each other. So acceptance of another. Acceptance of the people around you has to be done just like how Christ has accepted us. You know, in the church back in Rome, 90% of the church members are Jews. And Jews have always built the festivals on food and meals. But, you know, just like our church here, we have different ethnicity and different nationality in our church. And we have people coming from everywhere around the world. But regardless of where you're from and what skin color you are, we all are brothers and sisters in front of our Lord. And the food that we enjoy are different, but that is not the difference that will stop us from accepting each other and loving each other. And Jesus does not look at these minor. Jesus would accept us without thinking of where we're from and who we are. Because Jesus looked at the righteousness of us. And today's sermon is about renewing of accepting each other. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for leading us through this time. Give us powerful words to learn. And when we see you, we see light. Thank you for your own ministry, teaching us the truth of Apostle Paul's words. Lord, you have taught us to give our own devotion, to give our bodies, minds, as living sacrifice. Let us understand that we should not imitate the corrupt world and set apart to follow Jesus so that we may have the power from you to examine the goodness and purity of God. Lord, when you speak to us, to the Apostle Paul, you have given four wishes and expectations. May we all magnify the Lord, imitate Jesus Christ, glorify the Lord, and we accept each other as Christ accepts us in order to be united and built in love. Lord, we pray that we always think of your word and practice your word so that we would not stumble and fear until you return, that we could stand before you and accepting and receiving the mercy that Lord you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.